Welcome to Torah Life Ministries, teaching about the instruction of our Creator and putting His Word into action, from suffering well to living a blessed life, looking forward to the hope and future that awaits true believers of the faith. Welcome to the show and your host, Paul Neeson.
Praise Yah, everybody, and I wanted to just talk today and remind you all about the importance of following the guidelines and instructions of our Creator, which more and more people are getting away from. But the more concern is the so-called believers or Christians that are not defending, keeping the guidelines and instructions of our Creator and teaching people it's okay to break the guidelines and instructions of our Creator. And when you use guidelines and instructions in that word, then people can resonate with what you're saying. But when you use the word law or Torah, many people say we're no longer under that because that's an Old Testament thing. Nowhere in the scriptures does it say that the Torah is just a Jewish thing or only for Jewish people. It's for all of Yah's people, those that desire to follow a wonderful creator in the likeness of Yahshua, a wonderful Messiah, who set the example of us of how to live. And this is why he's known as the living Torah. But we have a problem today. First, we got the Christian church that primarily teaches that we're no longer under the law, if they want to so-called call it. But we were never under a law. We were under the guidelines and instructions and the statutes and commands of our Creator when we agreed to the covenant with Him that we would follow Him and trust Him and believe in Him and His ways. And when we use the word law, you know, it kind of gives a different idea because people say we're not under the law. But were we ever under a law, or were we under the a covenant that we've agreed? So when people get married, they make a covenant to stay together and to be faithful. You know, if we know all, you know, so that's a covenant. It's not necessarily a law, but then again, it is a law if you want to take it to that court system and so on. But regardless, I don't see married people in the church saying we're no longer under the law, so we don't have to be faithful to each other. But you're under the covenant that you made with our Creator to be with, you know, faithful to your wife, the one you supposedly believe provided for you. So when we accept Yeshua, the one they call Jesus, our Messiah, we're now saying that we're going to accept this covenant that the forefathers have accepted. And just because some of the forefathers were from the tribe of Judah and made this covenant, as a matter of fact, they, Abraham and Isaac, you know, we look at the different tribes. I mean, the tribe of Judah started with the children of Jacob. And we look at, you know, all the people in scripture from Adam, and we look at all the people in scripture in the original covenant prior to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, who weren't necessarily Jewish, but they still kept the guidelines and instructions of our Creator. And then we look at those that came out of the Egypt when Abraham went in and he took them to come into the promised land with them. They were required to keep the guidelines and instructions of our Creator. So you have a funny thing here today because you have the morality of living according to our Creator, and you have a bunch of Christians saying we're no longer under the law, but yet they keep many of the moral guidelines and instructions of our Creator. You have many non-believers in the world keeping the moral and guidelines and instructions of our Creator. This is why if you see somebody in the media do something that's very immoral, there's a big uproar in the world today. That's because of the sin that's flooding the world everywhere. That's starting to fade. But when you look at the scriptures as a whole, you know, it's not a Jewish thing. It's not, you know, somebody told me we shouldn't keep the law, and they go back to the law of the Torah, because when you keep the Torah, and all Torah means is guidelines and instructions, but it's if you use a Jewish word now, all of a sudden people are saying, well, that's not for us. Well, that's like saying, you know, the word Christ is a Greek word, so we're not going to, you know, follow Yeshua, which makes no sense at all. whatever language you use, you know, translate into your own language. It's a guideline and instruction. So somebody told me, well, we're no longer under the guidelines and instructions of the law or the Torah, because that's putting the Jewish traditions on people of other traditions, which makes no sense at all. But this is the excuses people want to make to continue to live in sin. Because our Creator isn't a creator of neutrality. He's complete. He wants us to not just be neutral. He wants us to be fully committed to Him 100%, and not just in some areas, in all areas. So to say you keep, you know, His word in most areas but not all is just making an excuse to continue in the areas that you pick and choose and not want to do this. And it creates a tremendous problem out there today. You know, so I understand the idea of a person who first hears about the guidelines and instructions about Creator when they're much older. And let's say, for example, a circumcision, and they haven't been circumcised, and they're like maybe 55 and they're first hearing this. Well, the first issue is, how have you went 55 years and never heard this? And the real issue with the circumcision is not you, it's your parents who should have known this. So when you were 8 years old, if you were a male, you would have been circumcised. You know, we can only do what we're bound to do, or what we're moved to do as believers. So, you know, saying somebody has to be circumcised if they're not born with wise enough parents to follow the guidelines and instruction is the same idea of a tattoo. You know, you don't need to get, if you got a tattoo when you were a teenager and now you're like 50 years old and you decide, oh, I want to follow the guidelines and instructions of our Creator, it says not to get a tattoo. You know, that's something you've done in your former life. That's a sin you've done in your former life. There may be certain consequence to that, but that's not a salvation issue. Yes, you broke the Torah, but that doesn't mean you don't follow the Torah. Now, could you get rid of it? Yes. You can get rid of the tattoo later on, but it doesn't make that difference. If you're moved to have the original body that your Creator wanted you to have and to not have a tattoo, thankfully so, you can do it. It's much more painful to do it. But if that's what you're being moved to do, then go ahead and do it. But that doesn't mean you're excused for following all the Torah because you didn't do that when you were younger. This is something that, okay, this is something that was done. And the tattoo's worse than circumcision because that tattoo was on your own thing. You've been a teenager when you got that tattoo. So you had whatever, 15 to 20 years to figure that out. But at least with that, with circumcision, that's on your parents. Because they're the one that should have known the Torah enough. Because when you're 8 years old, you're not going to make an understandable decision about getting circumcised or something like that. And this is what Paul explains when he talks about what really matters is the circumcision of the heart and the examples that were set forth in the Torah and understanding these things and reading the principle of what the point is of these guidelines and instructions. Because I believe it's not just the point of reading these instructions and guidelines and not understanding why, but to understand or to study and research and pray about, well, why did our Creator say this? Why did our Creator say to stone the disobedient child? Why did our Creator say to not mingle with those that believe other gods? Why did our Creator give us these guidelines and instructions and commandments? And when we start to get down to the reason why, we start to see the heart of our Creator and the reason of our Creator and the way He wants us to do. And we look at how so many people in the world today that call themselves believers are not really living in peace and shalom. And I'm not only talking about Christians out there, but I'm also talking about those that say they follow Torah and believe in our Creator. There's no peace and shalom. So when you understand why He said to keep the Sabbath, you do it with joy. When you understand why He said to set your slave free after 7 years and restore them and give them everything, you do it with joy. When you understand the idea about maybe tithing or giving your money or not idolizing money, you do it with joy. But when you don't understand that if you're doing it, you're doing it with a hard heart. You're not really doing it. So it all comes down to the understanding of this, but it also comes down to our heart, to desire to follow our Creator, and so on. In Psalms, it says, starts off, says, the joys of those who not follow the advice of the wicked, or stand around with sinners, or join with mockers. So they give you three situations here. The advice of the wicked, and whether that could be from the advice from your friends that do not believe in our Creator. As a matter of fact, the Torah tells you to kill anyone that's trying to get you to follow other gods. You know, people don't bring that up, but they tell you to kill them and say, should we literally kill them? Well, there are laws in our land today that will put us in jail if we just go around and killing people. But understand the heart of what our Creator was trying to say and why he was trying to say this. You should have nothing to do with these people that are giving you advice to follow other gods or do other things that are go against our Creator. You know, because, you either become like the people around you or they become like you. And chances are, if you're not boldly preaching the word of our Creator or have a heart for our Creator, and you're hanging around people that are not following him and his ways, you know, you're going to start coming around like them. And then it says, or stand around with sinners. You know, and people don't get this, but they need to understand that sin, living against the guidelines and instructions of our Creator, is a contagious disease. And this is the way we need to treat it. And if we continue to hang around with people that are not following the guidelines and scriptures, eventually we get that idea. Well, they're not doing this and they seem to be okay. They're breaking the Sabbath and they seem to be okay. They're living a life like the world, and they have a lot of money, and they seem to be okay. So you start, your mind starts thinking, and you start listening to the enemy that we could do that too. So don't follow the advice of the wicked. Don't hang around with the sinners. And then it says, don't join in with the mockers. You understand the heart of our Creator, and he wants us to love our enemies so much so that we have a heart for them to know the truth, and that the truth would set them free. We're not going to kick people when they're down. You know, it says in verse 2 of Psalms 1, that the delight, and it's a bad translation because it says, in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. It says, but they, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, but they delight in the guidelines and instructions of our Creator, the statutes, the covenant that was made with our Creator, meditating on it day and night. You know, continuously thinking about the guidelines and instructions of our Creator, the blessing that came. And you know who was like this? David was like this. And we see in Psalms 119, this is what David did. You know, you might as well insert here in Psalms 1, verse 2, they delight in the guidelines and instructions of Yah, meditating a day and night. You might as well insert here, instead of day, you can put the word David. King David, who had a heart of Yah, delighted in the law of Yah, the guidelines and instructions of Yah, the Torah. You know, so, and we'll look at that. We'll look at that heart. It says, you know, it talks about the fruit of Scripture, you know, and so important for us to get this and understand this. You look at David in 119, and the delightful of this is, so it starts off in 119 of Psalms with, joyful are people of integrity who follow the instructions of our Creator. Joyful are those who obey his, and it says the word laws, but let's say the covenant, and search for him with all their hearts. So look at Psalms 1 and Psalms 119. In Psalms 1, it says, oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice or stand around with sinners or join with mockers, but they delight in the instructions of our Creator, the Torah, the statutes, the commandments of our Creator, meditating on them day and night. And it also says in the next verse, they will prosper in all they do. But then we go to Psalms 119. Joyful are people of integrity who follow the instructions of our Creator. Joyful are those who obey his guidelines and instructions and search for him with all their hearts. And when I read this and I see many of the people that are saying we don't need to keep the Torah, we don't need to follow the instructions of our Creator, a lot of them are missing joy. A lot of them are missing the joy of Yah. And many of them might be listening and saying, well, you know, I have all the joy I need. Well, they're getting on these debates, yelling and screaming at other people that we don't need to follow the guidelines and instructions of our Creator. I don't see joy in that. I don't see joy in living in a way like that. You know, and then we go back when we went back to Psalms 1, verse 1, and it says they do not follow the advice of the wicked or stand around for sinners or the mockers. And then when we go and we go back to Psalms verse 3, it says they do not compromise with evil and they walk only in his paths. You know, you have charged us to keep your commandments carefully. Hallelujah. And then verse 5, David saying, oh, that my actions would consistently reflect your decrees. So you have Christians out there or people out there that try to come on the internet and say, we no longer need to follow the guidelines and instructions of our Creator. Then we have King David in Scripture. Oh, that my actions would consistently reflect your decrees. Then I will not be ashamed when I compare my life with your commands. As I learn your righteous regulations, I will thank you by living as I should. I will obey your decrees, and please don't give up on me. And it goes into talking about the purity of our Creator and how to be protected, how a young person could stay pure by obeying the words of our Creator. Nowhere does it said by obeying the words in the Old Testament or the New Testament, because that's a big problem when you make one book into two and you say, oh, the New Testament releases us from the law. No, it doesn't release from the law. It says to take this most important part that our Creator gave us, the guidelines and instructions, and to not have it on stone, but it should be in your heart. You should be living them without even having to think about them. So not only should you not have to defend and compromise and think about, should I be keeping the Sabbath or should I be not be eating unclean foods, doing things like this? To the heart of a believer, this should automatically be part of what you're doing. It's not about, oh, I'm making it too hard for other people. The ludicrousy that somebody told me, well, you're a serpent. The Jewish traditions on non-Jewish people. That's absolutely ridiculous. You know, it says here, you know, you're not letting the guidelines and instructions make your life worse. You're making them better. And this is our Bible, the scriptures that we have. King David himself, I will study your commands and reflect on your ways. I will delight in your decrees and not forget your word. You know, but there's too many people out there that literally teach we don't need to do this. You know, it's like, The new believers, the so-called Christians, are fighting to follow the commands and instructions. They're desired. They want to give up all of their sin. They want to get away from their unholy life. And then they go to some church building. And now the preacher there will say, I know you're struggling with this new walk. I know you're struggling to come into this new life. But don't worry about it. You don't have to change. You don't have to change what you were doing. You don't have to change what you were living. Just say a few words and you'll be fine. That's not what the scriptures say. The scriptures say you do have to change. And when you become a believer, something's supposed to change. Your heart. And your heart's going to dictate your actions. So you're no longer to love the things that the world loves. You're no longer to act the way the world acts. You know, when you find yourself doing these things, you put yourself right back into the situation where the warning when the children went into the promised land was to separate and divide yourself from the people that were living there so you do not go after their gods. So you do not go after their gods. And this is what happens to people today. I believe we should have people in our lives that are non-believers to minister to them, to set examples for them, and to guide them in the right way. But when you start liking their ways of living more than the ways of our Creator, we run into this problem. And this is what we see happening. People no longer want to follow the advice, the instructions, the guidelines, and if you want to use the words, laws of our Creator. But they have no problem running around following the world's ways. The lightning knows. But David says here, how I delight in your commands and how I love them. I honor and love your commands. I meditate on your decrees. Now, when I see Christians debating that we no longer need to follow the Torah and the guidelines and instructions, which, by the way, they follow like 90% of them, but they don't want to do all of them. So they say, oh, well, we don't have to do that. Yeah, it's a choice. You don't have to, but do you? Well, if you don't have to do that, why do you follow 90% of it to begin with? Because you're picking and choosing. But our Creator tells us not to fight this. He tells us to delight in it. To delight in the guidelines and instructions of our Creator. You know, and for those of you that want to bring up the idea about the circumcision, well, look at the idea of the tattoo. You know, and don't let, you know, what your parents didn't do keep you from following our Creator's guidelines and instructions. To get the heart behind it, to understand why we're supposed to do this. And this is the heart that David's talking about when he talks about his life and his faith and what he wants to follow in Psalms 119. You know, it says, and may I be blameless in keeping your decrees that I will never be ashamed. You see, the world today, or godly or ungodly people are ashamed to follow our Creator. They're ashamed to dress modest. They're ashamed to talk without cursing. They're ashamed to live a life of purity. You know, because so many people in the world today are not. But we shouldn't be ashamed to represent our Creator. We should have the heart of David, even though those mock us. We should stand up. It's the greatest witness of Yeshua in our lives. And like it says in Psalms 1, the trees planted, it says that there will be like trees planted in the riverbank. This is those that are righteous, bearing fruit each season, and their leaves never wither, and they prosper in all they do. But not the wicked. They are worthless chaff scattered by the wind. Sinners have no place among the holy, for Yah watches over the path of the holy, but the path of the wicked leads to destruction. So let's talk about the path for a moment. Yah says, know the plans I have for you. They are for good and not disaster, to give us a future and give us a hope. And then we got the path of the wicked. And it says in the scriptures, there's a way before each person that seems right, but ends in death. And they talk about the premature death of, because as a result of your wickedness. Yeshua came and gave us a chance to live the life according to the times we were supposed to live. You know, people get this wrong. Yeshua didn't die for, he didn't die to take away death. He died to take away a penalty of death. So what's the penalty of death? The penalty of death is dying before our time as a result of our sin. So we all die. If Yeshua came for, died for us, you know, nobody would die, but we die. But the scriptures talk about the righteous person living in a good, peace and shalom, a long life of peace and shalom. But, you know, it says in the scriptures, a wicked person shall not live out half their days because the penalty of death is still on them. Yeshua removed the penalty of the death to those who decide to live a righteous life. Now, you might not have been living a righteous life when he made that covenant to do that. But now you have your opportunity. And that opportunity is, if you follow his guidelines and instructions, you will live a long life of peace and shalom. But if you continue to live a life of sin, that death penalty is still on you today. And it might not be given to you down by a court system where you're getting a death penalty for breaking the Sabbath or something like this. But there are eternal consequences of not living according to the guidelines and instructions of our Creator. And as shown all throughout Scripture, if you live against the guidelines and instructions of our Creator, the burden or the yoke will be so heavy on you that your life will end one way or the other many years before they should. And whether it's through mental diseases and disorders and stuff because you don't have true faith in our Creator, or whether it's because of some of the people carrying out this sentence, if you are not living against the guidelines and instructions of our Creator, you are not accepting what Yeshua did in taking away that death penalty of dying prematurely. And we look in the scripture of King Hezekiah, who decided to repent for his sin. And on his deathbed, Yahweh added 15 years to his life. 15 years to his life. So death wasn't taken away. The death penalty of dying prematurely was taken away. And this is what Yeshua wants to do, to bring us in covenant with him. The new covenant is about having the Torah, the instructions on our heart, so we'll desire to follow him. And we'll understand repentance. We'll understand the joy that he wants us to live in, the plans that he has for us, the good and not disaster, the future and hope. Well, you're rejecting that. You're rejecting that when you reject what Yeshua has done for us in this death penalty. So a lot of Christians will say, well, we're not saved by the law and salvation doesn't come through works and we don't need to do the works. So be it. Your eternal, according to scriptures, your eternity and where you spend it is going to be a result of your true confession in Yeshua our Messiah, whether you're living according to the guidelines and instructions of our Creator or not. Have you confessed Yeshua our Messiah? So be it. If that's your take on it, that we don't need to live according to the guidelines and instructions of our Creator, it's solely not according to our works and so on. Well, you're going to get that premature death as a result of that penalty, as a consequence of your actions. And then you're going to have your own situation where you're going to have to answer to our Creator for the life you chose to live and the covenant you chose to follow. And regardless if you believe this covenant is on you or not, take the example of the people in Scripture that trusted in our Creator. The example of David, who said, I meditate on your word day and night. You know, somebody who deserved 100% to have that penalty of death as a result of the actions, but because their heart was in the right place and they desired Yah so much that Yah truly did what Yeshua was doing for us in taking away that death penalty.
You've been listening to the Torah Life Ministries with your host, Paul Neeson. If you would like to learn more, please visit TorahLifeMinistries.org or call 917-407-2270. This program is made possible by the generous support of listeners like you. To donate, visit the website at TorahLifeMinistries.org or send your gift to P.O. Box 5503 Lake Worth, Florida 33466. Thank you for your prayers and support. Torah
Life Ministries. Hello, I'm Pastor Jerome Ryan, the founder and CEO of the Love Center. We've been serving the region for over 30 years, helping families rebuild their lives. We're expanding our services. The Workforce Discipleship Center, providing housing for the working class homeless. Yes, repeat, for the working class homeless. For single men and single women, we are offering financial literacy and strategies along with spiritual discipleship. For more information, please call the Workforce Discipleship Office at 772-207-6925. Again, 772-207-6925. Our staff is waiting to assist you or someone you know.
The Treasure Coast Christian Alliance is a growing association of leaders from the business, civic, and ministry areas on the Treasure Coast of Florida. In these blessed communities, we reside, work, play, and pray together. Our mission is to encourage strong relationships among God's people through Holy Spirit-anointed fellowship. Leaders inspired to overcome barriers to Christian unity bring God's people together on the common ground of the gospel. For more information, visit us online at tccalliance.com.